Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate on our gospel reading today and the theme of be merciful as your Father is merciful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word to us and your love to us in Christ Jesus. We pray that you would bless us today as we are once again recipients of that love and as we consider how we live out that love in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. What's mercy? What's mercy? Today we hear verse after verse after verse of what Christians should be, should do, at least should aim to be, and aim to do. And right in the middle of it is this unusual call for mercy. What is mercy? There are different ways to describe mercy, but one way is to say that mercy is giving people better than what they deserve. So justice is giving people what they deserve. Mercy is something beyond justice. It's giving people better than they deserve. I saw a clip online that I'll show you in a moment that I think illustrates the point in a very small way. Not sure if you saw this. It's Irish cricketer Andy McBride. And he's at the non-strikers end and he goes for a run and he runs into the Nepalese bowler on his way down the pitch. And he falls and he's left stranded in the middle of the pitch. The bowler throws the ball to the wicketkeeper, Asif Sheikh, and he could run him out, but he doesn't. Shows him mercy. Can we watch the clip, Deb? The commentators got very excited at this point, talking about the spirit of cricket and all sorts of things. One more time, it's quite emotional. Okay, so it was an accidental trip, according to the rules of the game. I think he could have been run out, but the wicketkeeper decides not to. He shows some mercy, some kindness, probably beyond what he's required to do. And even judging by his actions, he looked like he kind of wanted to run him out, but he decides not to. He shows mercy. When it comes to Jesus and his call to his team, his disciples, his followers, his call is for them to learn and to practice the same mercy that God has shown them in the lives of others. So I want to think about this mercy today and outline four basic elements of the mercy: loving enemies, moving beyond reciprocity, reserving our judgment, and measuring in mercy we'll look at today. So firstly, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Then he talks about turning the other cheek. He talks about giving to those who ask. Firstly, it's important we hear these words in context. Because Jesus has just told his disciples, if you heard last week's reading, the blessings and woes. And in the middle of the blessings and woes, there's this line about, blessed are you when people mistreat you, hate you, exclude you, revile you, all on account of my name. Because that's the way they treated the prophets. And so this is the kind of enemy that Jesus has in mind in the first place. And this is the kind of persecution that Jesus has in mind in the first place. It's persecution for our Christian faith. That kind of thing. So it's the difficulties that come into our life as a result of following Christ. And that can happen anywhere. It can happen socially. It can happen in our workplaces. Doesn't often happen in mine, but in yours it might, right? That because of the faith you hold, people mistreat you in some kind of way. It can be subtle, can be forceful, can happen in our own homes. It can come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. And when it does, Jesus says, show love, show mercy. Fight fire with gentleness, cursing with blessing, violence with peace, and greed with generosity. Now, it's far more counterintuitive than we might think. And because we are Christians and because we have heard these words before, we sort of think, yeah, they make sense. But they don't make sense naturally. And they're often not our natural response when we are mistreated. by extension, I think we could include here anyone in our lives that we find challenging or frustrating or that gets on our nerves or that are mean to us or malicious or anything like that. And we can think, that is the person, those are the people Jesus is calling me to love. Now, it's not about being a pushover, and it's not about letting people take advantage of us, and it's certainly not about turning a blind eye to sin, but it is about responding to every person and every situation with as much mercy as we can muster, just as God does. A key part of that that's drawn out in the text is moving beyond reciprocity, or that's what I've called it. Now, what do I mean by that? Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Now, it's a basic principle of life, the principle of reciprocity. In other words, doing good to those who are going to do good to you. Doing good to those who will do good to you in return. But Jesus says there's problems with this. And the first problem is basically that everyone does that to some extent. The ancient Romans used to say there's honor among thieves. Everyone does that. Everyone's good to those who are good to them in return. We say things like, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. And that's what we mean. You help me out, I'll help you out. You know, people go to conferences nowadays and they talk about networking. What's networking? It's basically the development of mutually beneficial relationships, but it's not about the person, it's about what you can get out of the person. You know? What can you get out of them that benefits you? That's just reciprocity. That's a reciprocal relationship. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. And Jesus says we have to get beyond that. We have to go so much further than that. That's just basic. That's a minimum. There's more to human relationships than that. We can do better. How about scratching someone's back simply because it's itchy? How about helping someone simply because there's a need? If you trace this word mercy in the New Testament, the main way mercy is used, or the cry for mercy, Lord have mercy, that we've picked up as a Christian prayer, is from the beggar on the street. That's where it comes from. So it's naturally a cry of someone who cannot pay someone else back, asking for help, who by definition is not going to give back what they're receiving. That's what the request for mercy is. And this is what God shows us. That's the other consistent New Testament theme, is that God is a God of mercy. Old Testament too, actually. That God is a God of mercy. And so, like the parent of the wayward child, he knows he's never going to get back what he puts into us. It's never going to be repaid in full. There is no reciprocity with God and us. He knows he can pour in all his love, all his generosity, all his kindness, all his helpfulness. And it's basically a one-way street. We can receive it, but we can never give it back in the way he's given it to us. And yet he does it anyway. He does it anyway. And he calls us to do the same thing in the lives of others. How about reserving judgment? Jesus says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Now, it's very common these days for Christians especially to be accused of being judgmental. Sometimes because we are. And sometimes because we're not. But our belief system and the contemporary culture we live in are just moving further and further apart, and they understand each other less and less. And so there's like this chasm opening up. And where there's no understanding, then of course people just accuse each other of all sorts of things without really grasping the belief system that's behind it. Now, Jesus doesn't say, don't take a stand. He doesn't say, don't say what you think. He doesn't say, never offend people, because that is impossible. What he says is, do not judge. So what is judgment? Judgment, if you think about the literal sense of it, is when a judge sits on his or her, you know, judgment seat and grabs the hammer and whacks it down and says, guilty or not guilty? You know, in or out? acceptable or not acceptable, part of society or removed from society. That's the judgment. That's the literal picture of the judgment. It's about dishing out justice. And it's very important in a literal sense and to some degree in a spiritual sense too. Because there is a judge. There is a judge. There is an eternal judge. There is a righteous judge. And it's not you. And it's not me. And we are incredibly underqualified for the role of being judge. And so Jesus says, our task is giving and forgiving. Do not judge, do not condemn, forgive and give. In other words, he redirects us. When we are judgmental, he redirects us towards forgiveness and generosity of spirit to people. We could call it giving people the benefit of the doubt. We could call it distinguishing between the sin and the sinner. That's important too. What Jesus is saying is resist the temptation to voice your verdicts over the lives of others and to say of them as a person, in or out, acceptable, not acceptable, guilty, not guilty. Because it's just not our role. It's just not our place. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now the text concludes with this little metaphor on mercy. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What's that getting at? The mercy of God towards us is a remarkable thing. Because in many ways we are that cricketer, you know, lying in the middle of the pitch, the dirt, fallen, and no hope of getting back to where we belong. We are the beggar on the street, in desperate need of help. We are the guilty, we are the judged, we are the condemned. And so we throw ourselves on the mercy of God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I need your help. And the response we get is a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. The imagery of is buying and selling grain. Right, and you have your bag or your container and it gets filled up and that's your measure of grain. And that's just, that's fair, here it is. But, you know as well as I do, shake the container, pat it down a few times, there's more room. It gets filled up again. And in this image, it gets filled up until it starts overflowing. More than you can take. And that's mercy. Or think of it this way. Go to the ice cream shop, as I do occasionally, and you pay for two scoops of ice cream. But you and I know there's two scoops and there's two scoops. Right? One scoop, two scoop, there's your ice cream. That's fair, that's just. Okay, get your cone, you know, push it down a little bit, fill it up, two decent scoops. That's my kind of ice cream shop. It's going beyond the minimum. It's overflowing in mercy, and that's what God does for us. And that's what God does to us. His mercy to us in Christ overflows, right? It's Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. It overflows. There's more mercy in the heart of God than we can ever receive, than we can ever take in. And just as we heard last week with the blessings and the woes and Jesus' fulfillment in his life of the blessings and woes, so today, if you think of all of what he's instructed, it is fulfilled only and perfectly in his own life. Love your enemies. And so he does. Turn the other cheek. In his passion, it's exactly what he does. Pray for those who mistreat you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At every step, he fulfills what he instructs. And he does so for us. He lays down in the dust so that we might stand up in the judgment and hear God's righteous but merciful judgment over us, not guilty, redeemed, saved, forgiven. His mercies are new to us every morning. His mercies know no end. And his mercies are yours today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not just a just judge and a just God, but also a merciful one who seeks to give us even more and even better than we deserve even more and even better than we could ever give back to you. So we pray simply that you give us hearts to receive your mercy and a willingness to live out that mercy and that love in the lives of others around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.